Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tata Coffee Q1 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aisha. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q1 FY21 results conference call of Tata Coffee Limited. We have with us Mr. Jacob Thomas, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. K. Venkatramanan, Executive Director, Finance and CFO. Now, I hand over the call to the management for the initial comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
On the line now. I would like to begin the call by giving you a brief update on our operations. And after we resumed work in both the estates and instant coffee plants in April, according to the guidelines issued by the authorities. What is important is that we communicated very proactively with our customers around the world and successfully completed all dispatches that were kept on hold in March due to the worldwide lockdown. Our plants in India have been running at near peak capacity since mid-April, and we are conducting regular audits and safety checks to keep the impact of the pandemic as minimal for our employees and operations as possible. I now move forward to comment on the overall performance of the company, along with some observations on the soft coffee terminal for both Arabica and Robusta. I'm very happy to report that despite the challenging conditions and restrictions imposed on the business, with the support of all employees as well as our esteemed customers, we were able to deliver a stable financial performance during the quarter. As regards to the standalone results, the total income for quarter one financial year 2021 stood at 180 crores, and the standalone profit after tax at around 10.5 crores. Moving on to the markets, coffee prices for both Arabica and Robusta have been hitting multi-year lows and are expected to be irregular in the coming months. The primary reason for the falling terminals is the large drop in demand due to the spread of COVID-19 across geographies, especially in the European Union and Russia. Secondly, with the restrictions still prevalent in many parts of the world, the out-of-home consumption, which forms a major part of the worldwide consumption from restaurants, cafes, and offices, has been impacted. The recovery of this segment is expected to be slow and will only pick up once normalcy is fully restored. The terminals for the quarter had gone as low as $0.96 in June from a high of $1.24 in the span of just 3 months. And quarter one this year recorded possibly the worst quarter in 5 years for Arabica prices. The London coffee terminals for Robusta have also been volatile and witnessed a sudden surge in demand during March, but gradually began to come down with the onset of the quarter one. Prices again varied between $1,300 per metric ton in March to $1,180 per metric ton by the end of June. But however, despite this unprecedented event, due to the intrinsic strength of the business model that we have, I'm very happy to mention that we have been able to garner significantly better returns for our coffee via our drive in premiumizing both Arabica and Robusta beans and by selling directly to roasters as part of our disintermediation strategy. Another significant move was to assiduously and meticulously take out unproductive costs across all our businesses. Despite the pandemic, we continue to invest in NPD for our esteemed customers, and all these above-mentioned interventions ensured a satisfying performance despite a once-in-a-lifetime challenge that we faced. I must add that pepper prices, however, have been stagnant during this quarter. We also continue on our efforts on diversification, and several interesting projects have been started on that particular front. On our operations, and especially around instant coffee, I'm pleased to report that despite the challenges facing the operations and the logistics in the beginning of the quarter, our instant coffee business bounced back and operated at near peak capacities. Good sale performance across geographies have been recorded. Despite the uncertainties and demand, all efforts have been taken in quarter one itself towards strengthening the order books for Q2 and the rest of the year, and we are ensuring a disruption-free execution of these orders. As far as our operations in Vietnam are concerned, the plant has been largely unaffected, and thus far, and has continued to gather momentum and performance, has been quite robust on both production and sales during this particular quarter. One quick mention on the consolidated results. Aided by a decent standalone performance in quarter one, our consolidated results have also shown a significantly improved performance year on year, with our US subsidiary, 8 O'Clock Coffee, registering a very strong operating performance. The consolidated total income in quarter one went up by 26% vis-a-vis the same quarter in the previous year, which was 592 crores compared to 472 crores of the previous year in the same quarter, with PAT substantially higher at 62 crores this year. In summary, I would like to mention that we faced several unforeseen challenges in the last 3 months due to an unique global crisis. But we were able to recover as we placed significant emphasis on timely execution of order, strict cost control measures, and improving operational efficiencies across the business. Since we have a healthy order book for quarter two, our primary focus would now be to evolve in this new normal that we see. Now I'll hand over to my colleague Venkat, who will take you through the financial performance for quarter one of this year.
Good morning to all analysts attending the call. As Chaco has summarized, despite the COVID challenges, the overall performance has been quite very good, especially led by the consolidated performance. The standalone, the turnover is at 180 crores. It is lower than the previous year, majorly due to the partial operations of the instant coffee, both the business units, for some part of the for April, and the full resumption happened sometime only in May. Secondly, on the overall expenses, more or less in line. In fact, except for the statutory increases, there has been a freeze on all major costs. And profit before exceptional for standalone is at 12 crores compared to 19 crores, largely impacted by the instant coffee lower volumes, used and sold. The tax rate, there is a reduction in the tax rate. The company adopted the 115BAA in the second quarter of the previous year. Hello?
Hello?
Yes? Hello?
So you can go ahead, please.
Can you hear?
Yeah,
we can
go. Yeah. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, fine. So the tax rate for the quarter is lower compared to the previous year. The company adopted 115BAA of AA of the Income Tax Act, opting for the lower tax rate in the second quarter of the previous year. So this year, of course, we'll have the benefit of the lower tax rate. On the consolidated results, EOC had an exceptional performance led by higher volumes. The turnover increased from 38 million to 47 million during the quarter. And Tata Coffee Vietnam also had a smooth run in the first quarter. They did not have any major COVID impact. So the turnover has gone up from 472 crores in the previous year's quarter to 592 crores. And profit before exceptional has moved from 48 crores to 79 crores in the current quarter. And that profit attributable to shareholders has moved from 22 crores to 36 crores. Overall, in the amidst the pandemic, the performance of the company has been very good, and of course we look forward to a stable quarter in Q2. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Himanshu Nayyar from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on a very strong performance. So firstly, just if you can give some more color on the very strong performance in 8 o'clock coffee, what would you attribute that to? Was it more of, say, panic buying, channel filling, or whether you have seen a structural sort of uptake in demand which you think can sustain going forward?
Yeah, we won't say it's a structural uptake, but there has been pantry filling during the first quarter, and as a result of which there have been higher volumes recorded there. So I would not definitely say it's a structured change, but definitely the first quarter has been very good because of you know, timely sales and connections.
Okay. And on the margin improvement side, again, do you think it is led by the weak coffee prices or... Again, not sustainable, or that margin improvement, operational margin improvement can sustain going forward?
Well, the volume and the volume performance, as I said, has been extremely strong. The overall cost has been controlled. I won't attribute it to green coffee alone because, as you know, the roasters have a longer term coverage there, up to 40 weeks of cover. So I won't attribute it to the green coffee itself, but overall there has been a good cost focus.
All right. Second.
Lower trade spends and all has also contributed.
Understood, sir. Secondly, on our Vietnam facility, just wanted to understand the visibility that you can provide there as to what is the capacity utilization which we have now reached in that FTC plant, and seeing our order book, what sort of visibility can you give?
The capacity utilization has been very healthy at 80 plus levels. Okay, of course, the certain, you know, May, for example, has been much higher also. So it has a healthy order book as of now, and we of course you also have to understand the COVID pandemic, where there has been slowness. We are witnessing slowness in demand, especially in out of home consumption. So keeping in view that factor in mind, the performance of DCVCL in the first quarter has been very strong, very good. And Q2, of course, we are large part of the order book is filled up. Of course, we are looking at the Q3 and for the rest of the year as things unfold.
All right. So, final question, just a clarity, in fact, on the margin in the subsidiaries. Would you say that the margins in our FDC business or the Vietnam subsidiary are now similar to 8 o'clock, or is there a significant difference there?
No, there will be, you have to understand the nature of the business. So the Vietnam business is more B2B side of the business, where there is selling it to the private label players. And because 8 o'clock is a B2C kind of business, so obviously the margins in 8 o'clock will always be higher than that of the Vietnam facility. But having said that, I just want to leave a point that Vietnam facility is in the process of getting ramped up. So obviously we are still not reached that stage where we can say that we are at, say, 95 or 100% capacity. So that will, you know, kind of release, you know, in terms of the cost of operations in that sense.
So, sir, where I was coming from was before the Vietnam subsidiary till last year, we were running at about 20-21% sort of margins in 8 o'clock. So, just wanted to understand whether there has been a sharp upswing there or not, so that we can build in some margins going forward as well, especially for 8 o'clock coffee.
So, the 8 o'clock, Q1 may not be the right kind of, you know, we're looking at an isolation, but 8 o'clock has been improving margins over time. I would leave it in that sense.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyank Chheda from Standard Chartered. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to get your sense on the supply side of the coffee industry, even in from the domestic and global perspective, and going ahead, is it due to the large capacity additions in the recent years has led to the price correction?
I'm assuming that you're talking about can I clarify that? Is it on instant coffee that you're talking about, or you're talking about overall coffee production? You're talking about the green bean.
Overall production.
Yeah. So overall production, definitely. I mean, there has been a substantial increase in terms of production, both of Arabica and Robusta. So there obviously would be some correction in terms of the prices. That is very much there in the global market.
And sir, going ahead, do you feel that this the historical lower prices are going to stay over here till the demand really improves?
No. So as pointed out, I think a large part of the coffee consumption is out of home, and till that actually comes back to normalcy, there would be some demand destruction that would take place, and consequently, impact on the overall prices. But what is important to remember here is we have actually taken a slightly divergent path in terms of how we looked at marketing and sales of our coffee. It's more in terms of how the premiumization and differentiation has actually happened, direct to roaster kind of a thing. So, you know, you're cutting off several layers and appropriating, substantial margins over that. So that, despite a five-year low in prices in the first quarter, I think we've done exceedingly well in terms of the overall prices.
Okay, that's helpful, sir. Last question from my side, sir. Pardon me for my lack of knowledge. Can you please explain me the business arrangement between Tata Consumer, which is our parent company, and 8 o'clock coffee, which is also a subsidiary of Tata Coffee? I think even 8 o'clock is the brand which is getting sold by Tata Consumer, right?
Not really. 8 o'clock has a direct sales. See, they are the fifth largest brand in US, so they have a direct distribution and marketing arrangement. So there is nothing in the sense linked to Tata Consumer as such. But since they are in the B2C business, they are a branded business, so there is a lot of synergy with Tata Consumer.
Okay. And sir, if I may squeeze it further, so there has been strategic changes that has been undergoing even in the parent level, which is Tata Consumer. Anything that is in under discussion for our company with respect to the our parent? Any strategic changes
Tata Consumer? No, nothing. This is the Tata Consumer has had a leadership change. And it's quite, we are seeing, lots of positive developments, as you would have also seen in the marketplace.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Jain from Mira Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, what would have been the contribution of private label sales in 8 o'clock?
Private label when you mean, what is private label when you are meaning?
Let's say maybe, so end consumer sale not under the brand name of 8 o'clock, but maybe sale to the some of the bigger retail chains out there.
That would be say 15% or something for the overall volumes.
15%. And sir, does this 26% sort of a growth in 8 o'clock has been driven by higher uptick in private label or even the end retail demand in terms of 8 o'clock brand itself has also been fairly good?
It's substantially 8 o'clock brand itself.
Okay. And sir, one more thing in terms of Vietnam plant, if I look into last full year numbers, we have been marginally positive in terms of EBITDA margins and contributed around 125 crore sort of a sales. So if you can just help us out in terms of quarter one, some color on the volumes as well as margins, how it might have been?
Rather not speak so much about the margins per se, because it's, you know, kind of, you know, depends on the, depending on the quarter, customer mix and all, it will change. But overall on the volume side, I would say about 20% of the annual volumes have been sold in Q1.
Annual volume has been 5,000 ton, we are saying?
Somewhere close to that. I won't say 5,100%, maybe around, you can take around 85-90% of that.
Okay. No, but are we on track, let's say, at around 80% sort of a utilization to make low double-digit sort of a margin from the Vietnam plant?
Oh, as I explained, see, we are still not reached that, you know, the optimum, you know, kind of peak capacity is what we could do, because the plant obviously is getting ramped up and in that sense, like, you know, gradually. But as we explained, it's about 85-90% of the, you know, in terms of capacity utilizations have been there. So obviously, as the capacity utilization better, we still there is some room. We are hoping the margins would improve.
Okay. Because earlier assumption was that at, let's say, a $50 million sort of a capex one-time asset, and if we have to generate, let's say, reasonable ROI of low teens and all, ideally at 80-90% utilization also, the margin should have been at least in lower double digit.
So it has been, see, the point is, see, we have to understand the market dynamics also. On the, see, this is instant coffee is also not, you know, we can't say it is completely a non-commoditized business. No, there is akin to it. It has some, you know, kind of affinity towards the coffee prices per se. So obviously the pricing, margins, all that will move in tandem with that.
Sure. And so based on current order book, are we on track that, let's say, last year 125 crore sort of a top line on this, and maybe quarter one back of the envelope suggests something like 50 odd crore we might have done. So this year we might...
Yeah, largely we expect to be on track.
So 50 crore quarterly can still be done based on the current order.
I don't want to put a number to it because it all depends on, or see, you know the situation currently. As I said, initially that the order book for the quarter two looks okay. You know, we have, you know, but then quarter three, quarter four, one has to look at. But generally, I won't put a number to it. But obviously, we are in a, you know, kind of a situation where the capacities are being, you know, utilized at very high levels.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Amar Kalkundrikar from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in your instant coffee business in India as well as in Vietnam, is it fair to say that most of the business is to clients who are retailers and who would be selling for at-home consumption and not so much for out-of-home consumption?
No, we will not be able to say that, you know, fully, because, you know, on the instant coffee side, yeah, we would say rather, you know, the larger proportion would be to in-home consumption. But having said that, there will be, you know, always, you know, players who will, you know, there will be, you know, kind of presence of out-of-home as well. But a large proportion would be the private label players who sell to domestic home consumption.
And in those customers, have you seen any benefit of, you know, this pantry uploading or higher at-home consumption in developed world?
See, Q1 has been sort of pantry uploading has happened. But having said that, you see, one has to look at the markets where we play. For example, 8 o'clock, they, you know, they are since predominantly in U.S., that's where the, you know, there has been a large uptake in the kind of pantry filling just happened there. Whereas ours, see, the instant coffee, the, you have to see the mix of countries also. For example, we have customers in Spain, we have customers in, say, in Japan. So all those things, you know, one has to look at the pandemic has also not been uniform. No, that there has been kind of, you know, movements across Russia, for example. We have customers in Russia. So obviously, Russia has been impacted, especially in the month of May and June. So there has been slowness in the uptakes as we see. So it all depends, would be on the kind of mix of countries where you play also.
Right. In 8 o'clock business, so about 1.5-2 years back, we had done a sort of restructuring where this Keurig arrangement was changed. And it was expected that some benefit will come over medium term in margins from the changeover. Whatever benefits had to come, have they largely come in or they are yet to come in?
No, margins have definitely improved, but I would, if you ask me really that we have kind of skinned the whole thing, it's not there. But I think the margins have definitely come in, but I am sure directionally margin would, you know, we are hopefully as we garner more market share, the margins also would improve.
Right. And very lastly, in your standalone business, your wage cost is somewhere around 185, 190 crore. Of that, core plantation related cost would be what approximately?
Roughly, I think should be in the region of 60% or something around that.
And that's the one which is subject to sort of minimum wage increases regular.
Minimum wages, yes, correct. You are right.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayant Mamania from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, congratulations for a great set of numbers in spite of the ongoing COVID pandemic. Sir, 8 o'clock contributes around 60% to our sales. Can you elaborate a little more what has contributed to 26% growth, say new geography or new territories or new varieties, barista, blend and flavors of America, single serve and e-commerce? Can you give some more?
The core, see, all these whatever you mentioned have done well during the quarter. It has been a very, you know, kind of secular kind of contributions across this portfolio. So the branded bag business has grown, private label has grown, so K-Cups has grown, and the new e-commerce has gone up, though it may not be the substantial part of the business. But definitely all the cylinders have been fired well.
Sir, you say that there is no structural change. So what kind of this growth will be sustainable going forward?
See, that is a little difficult. No, you also know that we are operating the first quarter, as we said, there has been, pantry uptakes which have happened, which has contributed. But obviously, Q2, we have to see whether we will be able to maintain this momentum, because obviously the business has to get back to normal. Obviously, we, you know, that's where it is. So we are expecting the, you know, gradual evening out may happen, but then it all depends on how quickly business becomes normal in all these parts of the world.
Sir, can you tell us this out-of-home sales is impacted? Does that has boost the consumption in home demand?
Some impact has been there, but to say that, you know, the entire out-of-home consumption could be made up by in-home consumption would be wrong. So that's a fact.
Especially on our green beans, see the plantation portfolio, where the roasters are, you know, where we are exporting to roasters. Obviously, that will depend again because they may be supplying to out of home and all that. We have seen some slowness in demand. Yeah, as I said again, it all depends on countries, etc. So if you supply to countries like, you know, Italy and Spain and all that, there has been definitely dampening of demand because of the conditions prevailing there, which is getting back to normal in a sense.
But some geographies have been good.
Uh-huh. Sir, as a strategy, Tata Coffee is not going to be in B2C business in India, but recently we have launched this coffee sonnets, which is B2C, I think. So, is there any change in strategy?
There is no change in strategy. This is a single origin coffee where we wanted to launch on e-commerce platform. That's what has been done. There is no change in strategy of Tata Coffee getting into B2C in that sense.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Sir, last year there are the plantation segment has not done well. What is your outlook for the current year?
Current year, as we see now, things are looking okay because coffee, especially we have had rains in time and all that. But having said that, you know, you also know it's an agri business. So, you know, things can change. But as of now, things are looking fine.
So this year the production will be better than last year? Sir, can you tell us about our tea business? I think we produce around 5 million kg of tea and this year the prices are better. So, can we expect better contribution from tea business this year?
That's what we are hoping because the prices have, as you know, due to lower supply, lower production, the prices have gone through the roof. And we are also trying. We have concentrated on producing quality teas. to kind of take advantage of these higher prices. We are expecting definitely a much better performance compared to last year.
Okay. Sir, last question on the financial statement. Under other comprehensive income, there is one item, effective portion of gains, losses in cash for hedges, which is 31 crore loss. And in previous quarter, it was 49 crores. What is that?
No, this is on the consolidated, you are telling.
Yeah. Under comprehensive income.
See, that will get flowed into both the FX as well as the coffee hedges, commodity hedges, which will flow back the normal way.
So, there is nothing negative on the finance impact.
No.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dheeraj Shah from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And congratulations for the good set of numbers. So my question is pertaining to the instant coffee side. So, we know that freeze dried is a basically high value margin product. So are we seeing any kind of demand destruction due to downgrading?
No, so there is definitely downgrading which is taking place, but it is not to such an extent that freeze dried becomes non profitable or margins get totally destroyed of sort. But yes, there is some downgrading that is taking place, especially around certain geographies.
So are we seeing any slowdown in the freeze dried demand?
Slowdown in the, sorry?
Freeze dried demand.
I won't say it's a slowdown. I think it is more in terms of tactical change. That's about it. I don't think there is a massive slowdown. Obviously, there are issues around the COVID situation as it exists in, as Venkat has explained, in several countries, especially where like for example Russia. So Russia for a large period of time during April and May was not able to operate. But of course, as things get normal, Russia will come back into the market and freeze would go back again. So it's a temporary kind of a thing.
It's a slowness which we are seeing which is short term in nature. That's what we believe.
Okay. And sir, again in the instant coffee side, are we seeing any kind of capacity addition in the industry, particularly in the freeze dried segment?
No, we are not seeing anything.
Okay. And sir, out of the overall instant coffee consumption, what could be the percentage consuming at home?
At home would be close to about 85% would be at home, easily.
On the coffee prices, do you expect further pressure in the coffee prices, or or this kind of a coffee prices would be stable in coming months?
It's really going to be very difficult to predict coffee prices. I think I've made this point earlier also. It is quite impossible to do that. But I can certainly tell you that there would be pressure around coffee prices, considering a large crop that is expected in Brazil, which is underway already. But again, what is important is to see how well you are placed in terms of premiumizing your product. I mean, if it is standard, run-of-the-mill kind of coffee, obviously there would be pressures around, getting a premium on that. But if you do make better coffees, if you do have a story around it, if you do have premiumization, disintermediation that is built in, you will see prices that are protected.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Taking a little long back. A few years back, there was a disruption in the U.S. market, in particularly 8 o'clock, because of excessive consumption of sudden, poor business coming in, and our major product was on the shelf. So now, how do we see the total, each business comprise, Ford, of the sales and all?
No, what it, I didn't understand the first part of the question. There was some years back, what did you say? Can you please repeat?
I mean, this is a new business. I mean, the port business.
No,
Keurig business started, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Port business is doing well. We are, of course, busy. 8 o'clock, I say, you know, market share which is at low, you know, below 10%. No, so obviously, we have a lot of ground to catch there. So within that business, you know, we are seeing improvements in that sense. So the port business is doing well.
Okay.
We are in chase.
Okay, and that also we were intending to take it to Australia. Also, we had made some venture. So any color key, that business is not there now?
No, nothing is not. It is not a material kind of movement.
Okay. And so, do we want to expand this 8 o'clock brand, I mean, other part of the geography, I mean, from the U.S., apart from U.S.?
See, I am not able to comment on it right away, but we obviously, the management is looking at whatever, you know, opportunities which can be, which are available. We are sort of continuously evaluating such opportunities.
Okay. And sir, how, I mean, much business ever instant coffee or freeze-dried is going to Starbucks and how that is ramping up?
No, actually Starbucks is not buying instant coffee. We have a dedicated roastery for them in Kushalnagar. So that
okay.
Roastery, is a, we have recently expanded that roastery. However, you know, you are aware, you know, that due to pandemic, you know, but much part of the Starbucks stores in India are closed. They are just, you know, they have to resume. But having said that, the Starbucks business is doing well. They are expanding and they are, you know, they are definitely on an expansion spree as soon as the conditions are favorable and you know, the business becomes normal.
So that, I mean, it is restricted only for India, Starbucks India business, or we may want to extend the geography also?
No, currently we are the dedicated roasteries only for supply of you know, premium quality Arabica beans to Tata Starbucks stores in India.
Okay, okay. And sir, in your initial remark, you about when you spoke about the paper business, you said that we have some other initiative. So just to understand what that I mean indicate.
Yeah, so we are looking at some pilot projects which involve cultivation of avocado. We're looking at some other initiatives in terms of honey, pisciculture, etc. These are at pilot stage, but the results from what we have got is pretty encouraging. So we are very actively considering how we can scale this up.
So over the next, I mean, 4-5 years, where do we see this business?
It'd be too early to comment on that at this moment. As I mentioned, these are under evaluation. So I think we'll have to wait a little longer and then we can possibly give you an update on that.
Okay. Great. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity, sir. I have three questions. I'll go one by one. So, sir, in 8 o'clock, and a lot have been already answered during this call, but I just wanted to clarify one thing. So, we have seen a 26% kind of a constant currency growth. Has the industry, the whole coffee, B2C coffee industry in U.S. in this time, has it also seen such kind of a growth, or are we gaining market share during the quarter?
Generally there has been uptick in the kind of, you know, people stocking up. That has definitely been there across the chain. Having said that, 8 o'clock has garnered slightly better market shares in the process because there has been certain good activities done by them, and you know, timing and, you know, connectivity of sales, etc., has improved.
Sir, what would be your market share currently?
As I said, it will be, you know, below 10%. Is roughly in the range of maybe 6 to 7% odd.
Got it, sir. And sir, one thing on 8 o'clock itself. So the way we are deriving 8 o'clock is basically consolidated minus standalone. So that would also include the Vietnam business. But even then, when I look at the gross margin, there is a weakness of 233 bps. And this is largely to do with 8 o'clock. But in an environment where there are weak coffee prices, which is impacting our standalone operations, why is this benefit not coming in 8 o'clock?
No, 8 o'clock in the this quarter has improved its margins, there's no doubt. But then obviously the standalone business is in a different situation because, you know, we couldn't, you know, sort of the volume itself could not be connected, especially on the instant coffee side of the business. And the green coffee, again, you know, what is happening is because of the seasonal nature, you know, further we have the larger crop, etc. coming in Q3 and Q4. But having said that, 8 o'clock margins have improved in the first quarter.
I agree, sir. I am just talking about the gross margin line. So 8 o'clock margins, if I look at it, is mostly because of the other expenses where there is a positive operating leverage. But yeah, only the raw material line, I see a 233 bps decline. And in an environment of weak coffee prices, I just wanted to clarify why does this margin not improve?
So I think Venkat did make a mention about the stocks that you typically carry, which is around 38-40 weeks for the 8 o'clock business. The impact of this lower coffee prices possibly would be something which will carry up. It will be in a staggered manner. So that's the basic reason.
Got it, sir. Got it. That is very helpful. The last question, sir. Vietnam sales during the quarter, taking into account 26% constant currency growth in 8 o'clock and around a 10% increase in my USD versus INR depreciation, the Vietnam sales comes to around 55 crore for this quarter. Is it a ballpark correct number?
Yeah, around that.
Yeah.
You're almost very close.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all
from
me. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I think majority of my questions are answered, just a couple of them. On the 8 o'clock side, like it mentioned that, you know, other expenses and owing to other expenses, our margins have improved, etc. So owing to this pandemic situation, what we have heard from, you know, in the past is, you know, that US market is very competitive and therefore margins are, you know, kind of very tight out there. So is it because of, you know, the discounts or the schemes that we would have been offering otherwise is now not being offered owing to this pandemic situation? And is that the reason for such a lowering of those expenses and slightly improved margins on that front?
No, the lowering of expenses has been across the lines, including the so that I would say all the lines there has been improvement. And as regarding your the trade discounts, etc., that will vary because depending on the kind of kind of promotions and with the retail chains, etc., that will vary. So I won't say that is the only reason for the improvement in margins. That obviously varies quarter on quarter depending on the kind of promotion schemes and arrangements.
Okay, so nothing specific owing to this pandemic that those schemes or discounts have gone away or something of that sort.
No.
Okay. Another participant asked earlier, so just wanted to confirm this out of home consumption or out of home sales that we do would be approximately 15% of our sales, right?
You're talking about instant coffee. We were talking about the overall consumption pattern.
Yeah, you're talking about the industry. No, I'm talking about for Tata Coffee. What portion of our sales, you would believe would be going to out of home?
No, see, the Tata Coffee itself has got, three kind of businesses. No, one is the green bean, where we are supplying to roasters and all that, where the out-of-home consumption may be slightly higher. Whereas instant coffee and 8 o'clock, the out-of-home will be lower and the in-home will be much higher.
Okay. So, on an overall basis, can you give some sort of what percentage?
I guess it will be around 75-80% should be in-home.
Okay. Yeah, that's useful. Apart from your tea prices and coffee prices, which you mentioned, anything on the pepper prices
prices have been subdued, because of various issues like, in a kind of ingress from Vietnam and Sri Lanka and all, which has been, sort of mentioned in the media as well. So pepper prices have been subdued. They are at the 300 range. We haven't seen any, great improvement there.
Okay. Okay. And Vietnam, you mentioned that, you know, for first two quarters, we are close to 80% of our capacity utilization level. Going to this pandemic, where do you believe that, you know, you are going to fill up the balance quarters or the, you know, achieving a higher capacity utilization from this level? So what would be the
As you know, we have got very, you know, good, you know, long-term relationship with many customers, key customers across regions. So wherever white geographies are there, we are also trying to, you know, sort of, you know, capture shares in those geographies. So that is what we are. So obviously, you know, these relationships are, you know, constant and long term.
Okay. Okay, fine. Okay. And last one, on the reporting front, just a small one. I mean, we report, you know, the plantation business and the value-added business.
Correct.
So is there a possibility that we can actually bifurcate into three, saying the one is the branded segment, which is, you know, the 8 o'clock of the part and the, because, you know, that portion somehow gets missed, you know, value-added and, you know, this B2C businesses, etc., just gets clubbed into one. So is there a possibility that, you know, reporting could be done by branded segment and then plantation and then value-added segment? Because that would really help overall, you know, to understand company better and, you know, also...
We understand, we appreciate the question. We will sort of, you know, evaluate.
Yeah. Thank you so much and wish you all the very best.
Thank
Hello.
You. Hello. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Joshi. From ICICI Securities, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, sir. Just two questions. Can you indicate the market growth for coffee business in for coffee segment altogether in USA as well as in India? And two, if we exclude everything, maybe channel filling or some pantry demand or excess pantry buying, etc. If you exclude both the things in India as well as USA, what would be the normalized growth according to you?
So I think what you have to remember is at this point in time, if you were to take out the COVID impact and if you were to look at a secular growth, normally coffee consumption growth is around anything between 1.5 to 2%, depending on what kind of coffee that you are consuming. Instant coffee.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it is something which is unfair, you know, to be stargazing at the moment with all the you know the impacts that have come and the changes that have come because of the pandemic. So I'm pretty sure that things would get back to normal you know as soon as possible. And I personally do feel keeping a number of 1 to 1.5% going forward also is quite a doable number.
Okay. But then, sir, considering such a strong growth in US market, do you see probably, let's say, once the things settle down, maybe in September quarter itself or maybe in December quarter, do you see some pantries destocking happening? So is that a possibility or you see that pantry stocks will continue to remain at probably the elevated levels itself?
There will be evening out of demand. So obviously the Q1, I don't think that kind of pantry filling may happen in Q2 and Q3. It all depends on, you know, what state the pandemic is in, how business normalizes. So obviously, we may not see that kind of a demand, but then the normal growth in coffee and people, you know, all that will, you know, kind of things, which will, you know, kind of, you know, improve the demand.
Okay. Sure, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Jain from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Aditya Joshi from Alchemy Capital. First of all, congrats for a very good set of numbers. So my question is with respect to the agri reforms in few states and proposed agri reforms. So how will that impact us? Can that be a positive impact? And number two, any plans to expand the coffee plantation in Karnataka with the latest reform?
No, we don't have any plans to expand the coffee plantations per se, but then we are into our own, you know, replanting all those things, you know, trying to diversification of crops and all that. That is something which we are kind of focusing on. On the first part of the question, if you are referring to the kind of, you know, AMC kind of reforms and all that, that we are not AFMC reform.
Yeah, yeah. So that I don't think
we don't think we have directly, we could gain some benefit in pepper and all that in a small way, but nothing substantial.
Because
we are on the sales side of the business, no? So on the buy side, we may some benefit.
Got it, sir. And sir, lastly from my side, you mentioned your pilot project with respect to honey. Now, sir, what is the thought process there and vision there, and do you see export as a big market there?
No,
honey. So it's like this. I mean, I think one, of course, the fact that you know, honeybee is an extremely important part of the coffee ecosphere in any case. I mean, if you want a good crop, if you want, you know, flowering to take place and good pollination to take place thereafter, you require a large you know, colony of honeybees you know, being in your property. So the initial you know, effort was around that, till we realized that there is obviously a larger game here. So at this moment, as I mentioned to a previous caller, I think while it is in a pilot scale, we are examining options to see how much this can be scaled up by, to what level it can be scaled up by. But considering the fact that this would be absolutely pure honey, which is something which you know, not very many people can claim to produce, and especially this is something which can also come out as a Koork honey, which is a GI protected honey or product or whatever it is. So I think it'll take a little longer for us to be very clear about the size of the business that which we could grow this to.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot again, and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rahul Chakwani from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So this time I went plantation revenue, and you said that the highest ever coffee sales in 51 to plantation. So is that a function of higher production, or is that, I mean, something you come up here? Also?
No, you said about the coffee sales, what we said, is it?
From the plantation revenue.
Yeah. Plantation revenues, what happens is normally the harvest gets completed in the Q3 and Q4, no? So that kind of sales is, you know, kind of staggered over the Q1 and Q2. And this year, because of some of the pandemic, some of the shipments we couldn't execute in March, so those kind of went into April. We also have our own, you know, apart from our own crop, there has also been a bought coffee which we buy and trade. That has also sort of, you know, improved the overall volumes and realization.
And of course, the customer mix that we had and the efforts that we had have in terms of, you know, premiumization and disintermediation going direct to roasters. That also has consequently given us a substantially higher return in terms of the pricing.
Okay. So these, I mean, these Q1 margins on the plantation side, I mean, would that be something sustainable? Because, I mean, last year we had, you know, I mean, you know, not great profitability on the plantation side. So, I mean, will this year be, I mean, better?
Yeah, hoping to be better, because last year we had some impact on account of the crop itself. But this year we have so far, since you also, just to inform, because the normally the Arabica and also the harvesting season sort of starts only in Q2, towards the end of Q2, August, September and all that. Obviously, we are expecting a, you know, kind of much better crop compared to last year. So obviously, the margins, we are hoping it will improve.
The coffee prices
as well, yeah.
And can you tell me the updated net debt figure in Q1?
Net debt, the standalone doesn't have with a cash positive. On the Vietnam, there is about around 50 million of debt, long term.
Okay.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for joining the call. It was a pleasure interacting. We hope to catch up with you for the Q2 call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.